This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're tuned into The Morning Run and I'm Khoo Soo Chuang. The government, this administration and the previous one has tried for years to develop Kampung Bahru and their latest proposal is currently being considered by the landowners. On The Property Show today, Keith Kam went to the ground to find out what the residents of this century-old settlement think.
Kampung Bahru, a description in Lonely Planet, highlights its low-slung charms that are best revealed by simply wandering its streets. Along the way, you can enjoy tasty home-cooked Malay food at unpretentious roadside cafes and stalls. Some of the city's best nasi lemak establishments can be found there, and the Ramadan Bazaar itself is an institution. This area was originally an agricultural settlement, more than 220 acres, or about 90 hectares. It was gazetted by the British colonial government at that time, in 1899, to preserve the culture of the local Malays. However, after some 120 years, with development taking place all around it, Kampung Bahru has become one of the most valuable tracts of land in the country. The Petronas Twin Towers are just about 500 metres away. And this is reflected in the latest proposal to develop the enclave, which the Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad believes properly reflects the current land value there.
Tawaran yang saya buat hari ini, daripada 850, kita naik sampai 1,000 dan selepas dah naik 1,000 sekalipun, untuk rumah yang nak dibeli termasuk rumah mampu milik, kita akan beri diskaun 15%. Because kita nak galakkan orang Kampung Bahru ni duduk datang balik. Apa yang kita nak mereka datang balik, mereka ada saham. Tanah tu kalau kita assume lah, tanah tu saja 15%. Tanah tu akhirnya masih milik mereka. They are still holding 15% of the land value. So bila dia ada saham dalam tanah tu, dia boleh bersuara. Cadangan macam mana nak bangunkan, apa yang kita bentangkan dengan taman dan sebagainya, dia boleh bersuara lah. They don't lose total control. Dan bila dah selesai pembangunan itu, mereka akan dapat keuntungan mengikut peratusan pemilikan yang mereka perolehi.
The plans and intentions to redevelop Kampung Bahru have been ongoing since the previous Barisan Nasional Administration. And to find out why it has taken so long, we need to understand the residents there. And so we spoke with Shamsuri Suradi, who is the Honorary Secretary of Lembaga Pentadbiran Malay Agricultural Settlement Kampung Bahru, or MAS for short. He explains the genesis of MAS.
MAS was formed during the Federated Malay State, during the British government. So when government of the day formed MAS, 12 January 1900, meaning this enclave, about 223 acres, just only for the Malays. So MAS, their role is not on just only a local council, but they have authority, giving the land, allow them to build a house within a certain time, collect the quick rent, and whatever dispute is under MAS jurisdiction. So this under one, they call it enactment, MAS enactment. Yeah? So this enactment was from time to time, this amended, lastly in 1954. So even the mention about Kampung Bahru, the spelling also K-A-M-P-O-N-G-B-A-C-A-R-U.
Since it was established at the turn of the 20th century, MAS has played a crucial role in maintaining order in Kampung Bahru, very much like a traditional Malay village. However, at that time, with no computers and typewriters, every detail about landowners, building plans, these were all handwritten and recorded and kept in ledgers available until today. The MAS Gazette from the British colonial government also ensured its legitimacy, and over the years, residents there have accepted MAS and sees it as the only authority. MAS is also still gazetted under Section 6 of the 1987 Selangor State Government Land Enactment, also known as the Warta Kerajaan Negeri Selangor Bilangan 20.
Local with the autonomous power, their role, meaning the board of management to manage their 223 acres, this land, their territory, in terms of managing the whole thing. Giving the land to the people to be recorded in our settlement register book. Even you pass away, so you have to record to us. From beginning 1900 till 1974, MAS is controlling the whole Kampung Bahru. You know, like a Vatican City in the east.
The functions of MAS are very much like the local councils we have today. However, Shamsuri says unlike the BKL, MPAJ or MBPJ, MAS has the final say on how property gets handed down from generation to generation based on Islamic principles.
So this I think, even you have to build a house, must submit your plan accordingly through the building management accounting, even collecting assessment, 7%. and whatever you rent out, your business, everything is recorded. And if you have any dispute, everything is here. So basically, their role is more like a small country. Even if you pass away, the name have to be deleted, and we make a judgment, we make a record, addition, next of kin. Must be decided, because these are the things they mentioned here about transfer, the land. Expulsion, we can expel people. If you misbehavior, misconduct, the Ketua Kampung reported to us, this is the thing.
Mas is so much a part of everyday life in Kampung Bahru that they keep a record of villagers who have come and gone over the years.
In fact, I mentioned just now, someone passed away, they have to report to the Ketua Kampung verified the thing, so they give permission for bureau. We have to record your name in the bureau record, meaning you check in, check out, everything is must control. Those are the days, till now.
This way of doing things became the norm for Mas for 74 years, managing land matters, disputes among residents, until the federal government at that time decided to carve out Kuala Lumpur from the state of Selangor to make it a federal territory. Shamsuri explains, however, that things remain the same with Mas even as the KL City Hall, today's DBKL, was born.
From 1900 till 1974, you must understand, before that, Kuala Lumpur under Selangor state government. So when the declaration, Federal Territory, happened, Kampung Bahru, part of Kuala Lumpur, was taken by the federal government. But during those days, mass enactment is not being dissolved. I don't know for what purpose. By right, one by one, they had to, this belong to Selangor, they belong to. So mass was left out, left without any, what do you call it, any what you're heading for, what your jurisdiction, what your purpose, what your vision, that kind of thing. So in Kuala Lumpur, there's a body named Dewan Bandaraya. In Kampung Bahru, there is two government agencies. One is Selangor, one is Dewan Bandaraya.
Shamsuri then told us about DBKL's ambitions for Kampung Bahru, which, while had the right intentions, did not seem to materialise successfully. Things, however, started to change as development took place in lands around the village, including the Petronas Twin Towers. All the resulting projects elevated land prices, but Kampung Bahru seemed to be left behind, until the Prime Minister at that time, Dato Sri Najib Razak, pledged to do something.
Time goes by, 74, 84, then Dewan Bandaraya start planning how to develop Kampung Bahru from beginning, but fail. I don't know why fail. This, I think, they have to question themselves. So till Najib and Power 2010, they visit Kampung Bahru, say, okay, federal government seriously want to rebuild Kampung Bahru, but we have formed one body, you know, like Putrajaya. Yeah? This must be tabled in the parliament. They call it Perbadanan Pembangunan Kampung Bahru.
The Kampung Bahru Development Corporation, or PKB, was set up by an Act of Parliament on April 1st, 2012, with the Federal Territories Minister at the time, Datuk Sri Raja Nong Chik Raja Zainal Abidin, in the driver's seat. But Shamsuri says villagers were unhappy over how this was done.
There's a dispute because they clearly stated in the Perbadanan Kampung Bahru, the Rang Undang-Undang before the table in Parliament, in the clause 8, they mentioned must be abolished, that kind of thing. So Kampung Bahru folk not happy with that because Raja Nong Chik tabled it during the daytime. At night only they meet up with the Kampung Bahru folk. So whatever they say, the good intention, noble intention, blah, blah, blah. Actually, in the first place, why do you have to abolish mass?
So faced with that existential crisis, Shamsuri, who was already Honorary Secretary of MAS at that time, consulted the heads of the seven villages that make up Kampung Bahru. None of them was happy about the possibility MAS might be dissolved.
So, okay, time goes by. Within 1 month, meet up all the Kampung, negative answer. We're not happy. We want development. High time. After 100 over years, we want development. So, okay. I just met up Raja Nong Chik. Look, I'm talking about people behind me. The next generation, the one must remain. I need a letter say that must still exist. So this, I think, the letter dated 16 April. Clause 7 here clearly stated, cadangan untuk dipindah bagi tujuan mas tidak perlu dimansuhkan oleh kerana kewujudan mas tidak bercanggah. It doesn't conflict because our role and their role is different.
We have seen a copy of those amendments Shamsuri talked about, but the Federal Territories Minister's Office has confirmed to BFM that MAS was established under a Selangor state law. And today, that MAS Act has been superseded by the PKB Act. In fact, the FT Ministry says it is also the Attorney General's view that MAS is obsolete. In a little while, we'll find out how three bodies, MAS, DBKL and PKB, exist alongside each other, ostensibly doing the same job. This is The Property Show on BFM 89.9.
Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Property Show on BFM 89.9, and this time around, we are looking at the latest government proposal and offer to redevelop Kampung Bahru. Among the key players in this story are the Lembaga Pentadbiran Malay Agricultural Settlement Kampung Bahru, established in 1900, and the Kampung Bahru Development Corporation, or PKB, in 2012. Shamsuri Suradi is the Honorary Secretary of MAS. He has told us that while PKB was set up specifically to oversee the development in Kampung Bahru, its role is different from what MAS was tasked to do the past 120 years.
PKB role as a facilitator, if you go through the Akta 733, their role not like us. Let's say you acting as advisor, you do as advisor role. The formation Perbadan Kampung Bahru must be clear. In the new 733, Undang-Undang Perbadan Kampung Bahru, it not mentioned about. At all. They stay silent, but we still exist.
That means there are now three bodies that appear to be doing the same thing. Shamsuri tries to explain today's mechanics in Kampung Bahru.
1900, MAS, 74, Bandaraya, 2012 is PKB, Kampung Bahru Development. That means in Kampung Bahru itself, there is three agencies, but two groups is doing the same role, one group as a facilitator. You just imagine from 2012 till 2018, Kampung Bahru Development Corporation, actually to me, this I think, if you look into their yearly report, they just like a charity, giving to the mosque, organize food festival, send courses for the Kampung Bahru youngster for learn how to do business, all blah, 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 is not focused, main issue of Kampung Bahru. Just imagine, Kampung Bahru that time already 111 years.
On PKB's website, it says it is a government-appointed task force, which includes DBKL, UDA, that's the Urban Development Authority, and PKNS, the Selangor State Development Corporation. PKB's duty is to develop Kampung Bahru. Shamsuri says PKB was never equipped from the start to handle the issues of the village, with those in charge unprepared for the complexities that come when people have lived there for over a century.
What's the problem arise here? Just imagine, small lot of land, consider about multiple ownership. Because why? They started earlier, more than 100, definitely from a lifespan of people, normally 60, 70 years. Okay, 100, that means about three generations. So three generations, let's say your great-great, our great-great-grand-uncle married, happened to have three wives, two wives. So how the family tree look like? So when they mentioned about, okay, everybody want development, look at this, your title. Wow, so many people, how they develop? You only one of 17. So this is the failure of Kampung Bahru Development Corporation to study from beginning. They must focus, the chairman, the CEO must be focused. I'm here just to focus on how to develop Kampung Bahru.
Earlier, we talked about how Kampung Bahru was established in a time before typewriters, which meant handwritten records had to be kept. Shamsuri says the records MAS maintains can be proof of ownership if land titles are unavailable or have gotten lost.
Besides that, also, we have another problem. On top of about 223 acres, about 879 lot, 33 lot without title. The person is dead. I mean, the people is living on the land itself. They don't have any ground. The great-great-grandfather name still in our settlement book. We just record their names here only. Ownership, their great-grandfather, but for their grandson, they have to prove this is grandfather. How to prove it? RC birth certificate, marriage certificate, death certificate, that and that, our jurisdiction.
As time went on, though, and development appeared to have eluded Kampung Bahru with its narrow streets and occasional flash floods, Shamsuri and MAS decided to approach the new FT Minister, Khalid Samad, who took office after Pakatan Harapan's GE14 win last year. Khalid responded by getting PKB to act, and they issued a questionnaire to gain feedback from the villagers.
They want the development, because after more than 100 over years, they want development. It's not like small plot of land, 10 people, now become 40 people. At least you have vertical development. So Perbadanan Kampung Bahru start the ball roll. Happened last year. PKB put up the banner. Soal selidik berkenaan pendekatan terbaik membangunkan semula Kampung Bahru. They don't mention about the sale to buy. So they come up with that. The questionnaire. They mention about information about landowner. Someone written here warga negara. Umur, status of lot. Are you landowner or you inherited? What the purpose of use of land, number of people. Time goes by, so suddenly, a newspaper, Kerajaan perlu dana 10 billion, beli tanah Kampung Bahru. What the heck? Suddenly on to buy. So people confused.
This questionnaire, which BFM cited, is 6 pages and 19 questions long, with question number 16 being, do you agree to sell your land to the government, yes or no? And based on that, PKB concluded that the majority, 88% of Kampung Bahru villagers, want to sell their property. Subsequently, PKB offered to hold a town hall session to explain the proposals, but Shamsuri's feel of the local grassroots is not one of optimism.
Kampung Bahru folk doesn't know what this town hall all about, but to me, we can feel the heat of land acquisition. So we meet up all the Kampung folk, we explain to them, okay, this is the government plan to sell. Because to me, we're not selling. Naturally, there is some people want to sell. We cannot stop them, right? We want development. If we sell, where are you going to go? This is where you belong.
As things began to gather steam, another town hall session was held earlier this year with the first offer to buy out some of the landowners at 850 ringgit per square foot.
Happened during the town hall session. If we sell, Khalid mentioned, okay, you are waiting. These are good news for you. $850 per square foot. You have three options. First thing, we pay cash. July 2020, they start paying the cash. Second option, some of the landowner, we're not taking any cash, we just expected their unit. Thirdly, kombinasi tunai and unit siap. Cash and unit. Number four, share. How many people Malay know to play share? This, I think, to me is misleading.
And this has led to the current situation today, where the latest offer has been increased to a total of 1,000 ringgit per square foot. So now, Kampung Bahru residents and landowners have until November 30th to accept or reject this offer. The FT Minister, Khalid Samad, asserts that he would like to get 100% acceptance, but this 850 plus 150 ringgit per square foot offer is the final one.
Ini tawaran yang last, tak ada lagi tambahan. Apa yang kita akan buat sekarang ini ialah kita akan turun dan bertemu ikut setiap pemilik lot dan explain. Pasal apa yang kita nak ialah diorang, kalau dia setuju, biar dia setuju atas dasar pemahaman yang jelas. Kalau dia nak tolak pun, biar dia tolak atas dasar pemahaman yang jelas. Sekarang ni masalahnya saya rasa masih ada yang tak faham. Ya. Saya nak beli dengan harga yang terbuka, saya nyatakan 1,000 sekaki persegi, terms dia begini-begini, tak ada broker-broker lagi, kita beli, kita setuju, kita bangunkan bersama. Itu je.
Landowners have also been asked to contact PKB directly for any clarification, but it is, however, unclear what would happen if the ministry doesn't get their 100% acceptance. Efforts were also made to contact PKB for this Property Show episode, but its CEO Zulkunain Hassan told us all communications with regards to the redevelopment of Kampung Bahru must go through the Federal Territories Ministry office. As it stands, this Kampung Bahru story is by no means complete and we await new developments. If you've missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast via the BFM app on Google Play and the Apple App Store. We are also on Spotify. This has been The Property Show. I'm Keith Kam. This is BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.